Open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. A word of prayer before we read. Heavenly Father, we again give you praise and glory for all that you've done. Lord, we're thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we completely and fully believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that he came as a babe from a virgin. The Lord, he grew up, he walked among us, he healed many, he done many wonderful miracles. And Lord, he willingly went to the cross. And the only Father, he died, he suffered tremendously. He suffered beyond what we can even imagine or think, the only Father. But he suffered for us, for me, for each and every one of us, that we may be able to make heaven our home, that we may be able to be saved from sin, and give us the power, give us the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit to come and to guide us and to teach us and to help us, that we may make heaven our home. And Lord, we're so thankful for that. And dear Lord, we don't ever want to take that statement in a sense or that little comment as for granted that we believe in Jesus Christ. The Heavenly Father, the world is full of people that don't even know who Jesus Christ is. They have heard the name. They may be able to associate a little bit, but to have a personal experience, a personal relationship with Christ, dear Lord, they know nothing of. And Lord, so we don't want to take it for granted. We thank you so much. And dear Lord, we don't want to misuse it, Heavenly Father. We want to keep it dear and near to our heart, dear Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, you have given us in the Word. Dear Lord, you give man 70 years to live. If a reason of strength and health, you give him 80. But Lord, and some people get a little bit more, many people get a lot less. But Lord, we're just here in this earth just for a very, very short time. And Lord, as I was speaking to someone this week, a person that I've known since as a child in school, and we both made the comment, where has 30 years gone? Lord, it goes so quickly, dear Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, we'll be gone. Each and every one of us will be gone from this old place one day. If you delay your coming and allow time to go, one day we'll lay these bodies down. And dear Lord, we'll start eternity. And by the grace of God, we want to make heaven our home. So Lord, we ask you to be with each and every one that's here this morning. We ask you to allow the Spirit of God to be real, to talk to each and every heart that's here. Lord, those of us that are saved and have a desire, help us to go a little deeper. Anchor our souls a little bit stronger in the things of Christ. And Lord, we ask you if there's anyone that's here that doesn't have a relationship with you, Lord, we ask you to reveal yourself in such a great way this morning that they'll have that knowledge of Jesus Christ in their heart. So Lord, we ask you to bless us. Ask you to anoint the word as I bring it this morning. Anoint me, I'll bring it just as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to read verses 12 and 13 and pick this apart a little bit, or pick a couple words out of here and look at. Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." I want to look to you this morning, the thought as Paul is giving us here, and he talks about the strength, the power, what the Word of God is, and he says it's more powerful than any two-edged sword. And the thought that I want to look at is he makes a comment here. He says, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. I want to look at our soul this morning and consider our soul. And my desire for this morning and the thought that I feel the Lord has given to me this week, are you aware that you have a soul? I want that to meditate a little bit. Are you aware that you have a soul? Because we understand, we know by the Word of God that our soul, that inner being of us, is the only thing that is going to spend eternity. This body's going back to the earth. This body, as I just prayed a little bit, is going to live 70, 80 years, whatever, however long, and it's going to be done with this world. It's going to be, there is no afterworld for this physical body. The soul is what will inherit eternity. And as we mentioned, we know exactly where the body is going. We know the body, the Bible teaches the body to go back to the earth, and every one of us know from we've been experienced, been to funerals, unfortunately, and we will go to more funerals. And many people with this body, they spend a great deal of time preparing for the death of this body. Many of you here, and there's nothing wrong with that. I believe that's good. And many of you here probably already have your lots picked out. You may have already paid for the opening and closing of your grave. You may have already had your casket chosen. You may have already had the outfit that you're going to be buried in. All the preparations. And people do that all the time. They make great, they take great time to prepare for the death of this body that is not going to exist anywhere at all. But they spend almost no time and zero time on the soul. Do people understand that they have a soul? And I thought about that this week here and thinking about a soul. I believe that many people in the world, they don't even consider their soul. There are even some people that we have in the world where they don't even believe in any afterlife whatsoever. Once they live and they die, it's over, it's done. They're going to be buried or going whatever. They're going to have preparation done for the body. And that is it, the extent. And I know a few people like that, and my heart is saddened. And I know some people that are wealthy in this world, that have a lot of material things, enjoying things. They have no concern for their soul at all. And my heart goes, they get to the end of life, so to speak, and they're not able to do like they used to do. And they've enjoyed life. They really have enjoyed life sometimes. They weren't a bad person. They've enjoyed life. And my heart thinks, I know you've lived life, you had all the pleasures of the financial things and the things of the world, but now you're coming to the end. You know what? God can still have mercy and save you, and you can make heaven your home and enjoy eternity. But people don't consider their soul. Amen. Paul says how close it is here. To divide, the word of God is able to divide the soul and the spirit. You may ask me, what is the difference between the two? I don't know if I can really tell you. I can give you some examples and some thoughts. But between the soul and the spirit, Paul says God can divide them. God can separate them. And Proverbs, not going to turn here, in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27, it says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Paul tells us here in Hebrews, as we read that about the spirit and the soul of man, Proverbs tells us that there is a spirit in man that is the candle of God. Let's look at a couple other verses. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, where everything began. In Genesis chapter 2, and verse 7, we know, we'll get to a thought here in a minute. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. "And the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Yes. God formed us. It says God formed man, which was Adam, we know. He formed him from the dust of the ground. And there was just a shell of a human flesh laying there. I don't even know if I could say human flesh, because they don't become flesh until a soul becomes in. Just a shell of a man. And the Bible says that God breathed into this man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. We see that in chapter 1 and 2, God created everything that there is. Is. You created it all. But in this particular verse, in verse 7, it seems to be that God didn't necessarily, he created man, he made the body, but he gave man a piece of himself. breathing into him his nostrils, he became life, and it became a living soul. He gave to this man something of his own, a soul. How important is our soul? Let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 37. Just giving you some scriptures here a little bit for the thought of the soul. I wasn't going to read this. I was just going to make mention as I read it this morning. I thought I'd read it to you. Sort of a good story. Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to pick up in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Give me a second. You do that. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them around about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. And he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover your skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as the Lord, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, and bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew of the flesh came upon them, and the skins covered them, but there was no breath in them. And we're going to stop just there for a second and look at the picture and look at the vision here that God has given Ezekiel. He's in a valley of dead bones, hundreds and hundreds and thousands, no doubt, of dead bones. They had already decayed, and the bodies have already decayed in the ground. And God told Ezekiel, he said, I want you to prophesy to them. And as he prophesied, the bones started to click together. The bones started to come together by the order of God. And it says the skin started to come on the flesh, but they were not alive yet, in verse 8. Their skins were covered above them, about them, and there was no breath in them. Verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, and it was an exceeding great army. The soul entered into them. The breath of God. God said, I breathed into man, and he became a living soul. A soul. I want us to realize how important your soul. Paul made comment back there, and in Ephesians back there, or Hebrews back there, he said that there is the word of God is powerful that can divide the soul and the spirit. Proverbs says there that we read in Proverbs 20:7, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. How important is that to him? And here we read in Genesis that God said that he made man and he breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Let's look at one more verse of scripture. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he says, then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The Bible lets us know where the body and soul was going. This body is not going to inherit heaven. This body is not going to be cast into hell. He says in this verse of credit, then shall the dust, and you remember what God said in Genesis, He formed man from the dust of the ground. This body shall return unto dust where it came. But the soul of man, the spirit of man, it shall return to God who gave it. Your body has received a soul from God. And one day, God's going to call it back. And when the soul leaves this body's done. Yes. All the medical professionals say there's not one thing they can do to revive this body once the soul is brought back, once the soul is departed. Our soul will return to God, and this isn't a part of my message for this morning, but our soul will return to God, and it will give an account of the deeds done in this body. Our soul. How important is our soul? And my thought is, even as I thought about this message this week, even as saints of God, how much do we consider our never dying soul? How much do we think about our soul? Our soul is what's going to last in eternity. Our soul is going to make heaven its home one day, or it's going to be cast into a pit of hell and fire and brimstone. Our soul. And too many people, in whatever reason, they think that our soul, there's even a saying sometimes out there, my body sins, but my soul doesn't. That's not correct. I think I may have a scripture later on there in the chapter here, or in my lesson here, that the body lets us know that, as I just read, our soul is going to give an account for what this guy does. And many years ago, the Lord brought that thought to me, maybe through preaching and things. A lot of people think, well, this guy can sin. I can go out and commit adultery. I can go out and drink. I can go out and smoke. I can go out and go do all the things that I want to do. But the soul is what's saved to God. No. Our body's not going to suffer anything from heaven or hell, or enjoy heaven or suffer from hell. But it's the soul. And our soul is the most valuable, important thing that we have in this earth. It is the most important thing that we have, beyond anything, bar nothing. But because I can't see it, because you can't see it, how much do we pay attention to it? How much do we look at it? How much do we cater to it? God gave you and I a soul. In this world, and the word says here that our soul shall return back to him. So I want to ask you two questions this morning. And both are different. And listen to the words, brother, so I'll help you with the thought that I'm getting here. I'd like you to raise your hand. You don't have to if you don't want to, but I'd like you to raise your hand. Who believes they have a soul? You believe you have a soul? Okay. Who knows they have a soul? A little different wording. Do you believe you have a soul? Some people may say, but do you know you have a soul?
Right.
A lot of times people say, I believe something, but do you know it? Because to know something is a little more important than to believe it. So when you say that, well, how do I know that I have a soul? If someone were to come to you, a friend, family member, whoever you're dealing with, and you were to present this particular thought to them, and they would ask you the question, they would say, they make comment to you and say, I don't believe that I have a soul. I believe once I live and I die and that's it. There's no afterlife, there's no nothing. How would you prove to them that you have a soul? Or that they have a soul? How would you prove to them? How could you convince someone that you have a soul? And sometimes in preaching, I ask the Lord to help me, because in preaching, sometimes you get a thought from the Lord and you start to present it as this, and I say, Lord, help me to say proper words, to get it clarified, to get the right scriptures. But God has also helped me to realize I can only bring the verses and I can only bring the thoughts, but it's the Spirit of God that's going to help to reveal to you have a living soul. There's nothing that I can do to convince you have a soul. It takes the power of the Spirit of God, and it takes through faith to believe that you have a soul. Because, see, we've never, not a one of us that has ever lived upon the face of the earth has ever seen a soul. My soul has never stepped out of my body and talked to me. Your soul has never stepped out of your body and talked. I've never talked to a soul. Now, Paul said, dividing the soul and the spirit. Now, we can see the works of the spirit. I may not see your soul. I don't know what condition your soul is in. I can hear you tell me that you're saved, you're sanctified, you love the Lord, you may want to go to heaven, all these things. I may hear that and think that your soul is ready from heaven, but I'll see your spirit and the conduct of your life. I can't see your soul, but I can see your spirit. So how do we know we have a soul? We've never seen it. I've never seen somebody else's soul. You've never seen my soul. How do we know? If I were to walk over here, these are air-conditioned thermostats. I was going to turn it on, but I figured I'd better not. For one, if I had to remember how to turn it on, I've done it well. But I believe when it's time to turn this on, I believe it'll work. I guess Brother Danny can say that same thing. I believe it'll work. But you know what? I may turn that on and it may not work. For whatever reason, any type of reason. But I believe these two units over here, they'll work. You go out and get in your car. How many of you have gotten in your car, put the key in, and believe that it's going to start? Sometimes you put it in, no. I can turn these buttons on, and there has been times, maybe one unit will come on and the other. I can hear them, instantly they'll come on, I can hear them. But I said, I believe they'll work, but I won't know they work until they come on. I won't know they're functional until they come on. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, in verse 9, it says, holding fast the faithful word as it hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Holding fast, holding the word of God strong, faithful. Not changing week to week, month to month, year to year. Holding the faithful word that it may be, that has been taught to us, revealed to us through the Spirit of God, that I might be able by sound doctrine, the sound word of God, that I may be able to convince, or you may be able to convince those that disbelieve this word. Those that say, I don't believe that you have a soul. Help us, Lord, by sound doctrine. To convince, I believe that those things may come on, but I'll have knowledge of an understanding that they'll come on after they come on. The thing is about our soul, we believe we have a soul, and some people may believe or not believe they have a soul. By the time they find out that they truly do have a soul, it's too late. Today is the day to understand the salvation. Today is the day to know that you have a soul. Today is the day that you need to accept Jesus Christ. There are many people that don't believe they have a soul. And I say this, I believe there are many people in the world that may not say, I don't believe I have a soul, but they don't cater to their soul at all. So in one sense, they're still not believing. They're still not trusting that they have a soul. Do you believe you have a soul? If you believe that you have a soul, if you have knowledge of a soul this morning, that you have a soul, it's because of faith. Because God gave you that faith. This thought came to me, this thought this morning. This thought this week was brought to me. The Lord opened this thought to me for some reason. I believe that there are many people, as I just mentioned, they may understand or they may think they have a soul or somehow have a light, some type of a knowledge, but care very little about their soul. Like I said, they've made plans for the body. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried at this cemetery. Here's the clothes that I want to be buried in. Here's the casket. I want these things to be done. All this is prepared for this body, but no preparation for the soul. Because they don't see it. I can't touch it. I can't feel it. I can't speak to it. I can't see it. So I don't really have an understanding and knowledge of the soul. But there are so many people in the world, they will for a second, they will for a quick split second, believe that there are UFOs in the world. Oh, I believe in UFOs. I believe that there's Bigfoots out there. The Loch Ness Monster. Ghost. There's a controversial. People say, I believe Elvis is still alive. Brother Herschel laughed. Do you know those people believe those, some of those things I just mentioned this morning? They'll believe in things that they cannot touch, they cannot see, they cannot understand, they cannot prove, but they won't believe they have a never dying soul. Or take any attention to it. They'll believe in these things. They'll even believe in evolution. One day, two big rocks came together, boom, created this earth, set everything in perfect harmony. I was sitting on my porch yesterday morning, and the sun comes up right in front of us. So that's one reason we can sit on the porch sometimes. That sun comes up in the morning, it might be cold, but it heats us up pretty good. And I'm amazed. There, as I'm sitting there, and almost directly down the street from me, there's just a little bit to the left, there's a big old tree, and that's in the wintertime, the first day of winter, that's where that tree comes up, or that's where that sun comes up behind that tree. Now it has moved off a little bit. See, it's going back the other way. And before long, by the time summer, that sun will come up directly over here. What a big spread. Perfect time. They can tell me what time it comes up. Those trees out there, they're going to start budding because nature has been set in order by God. Things that are perfectly ordered by God, but people will not believe that they have a soul, believe that there is a God, but they'll believe in all these things that are fictional before they would believe in God. You like demonstrations? Have you a demonstration this morning? I'll do this so the ladies don't yell at me. All right, we'll put some things up here. I'm gonna put some butter up here. They'll stay. I'm gonna put some flour up here. Put some baking soda up here. Put some salt. It would be milk in that jug. I'm gonna put some vanilla up there. Some things I'm limited. Some sugar. I didn't bring this. I knew I had this here. And I'm going to put some oil up here. I think that's all I got. No, I got one more thing. I'm going to put egg. And that's all. I'm going to make it.
A cake?
A cake if you had more sugar.
Huh?
Make a cake if you add more sugar.
I didn't know that. Anybody in here? Now, you know, you probably know. Everybody would probably know that. But
we've seen it done.
Huh?
We've seen it done.
We've seen it done. Most
of being done myself.
I was trying to think of some other things you can make. So, I know those are all common things for a cake or different things, but you don't know for a fact that I'm making a cake just yet. You don't know for a fact that air conditioning is going to come on until it comes on. And then you know it's coming on. But you think I'm going to make a cake. Most of you said that. But once I get done putting all those things together, I'm going to make a cake. Now, any of us in this room or anywhere, except for a few, if you ever sat down to eat a piece of cake like this or anything with it, never ever would you sit down and look at that cake and say, well, I see the oil, I see egg, I see milk. You don't look at it. Now, I have in time, if there could be 10 people that would sit down and eat this cake, every once in a while, I'll get someone, they'll take a bite, and I can taste nutmeg or cinnamon. Some people say, well, I want your recipe, and they won't give it to you. You know, it's family recipe. So some people can know, I know all the ingredients to put, but there's some other things that you put in there, and some people are capable of saying it has this or that. I'm not. I've heard Sister Ellen was one. I was, it's got this in it, nothing. So there could be 10 people eating this cake, and understand the theory where I'm headed with this thought. There could be 10 people eating this cake, and maybe one of them may say they can tell you different ingredients in there. The rest of us, we're just going to enjoy the cake. The world's the same way. The world's just enjoying the cake. Cares nothing about the insides.
Amen.
Doesn't care about the ingredients. Without this, you don't have this.
Amen. That's true.
Without the soul, you don't have a body. But without the ingredients of that cake, you don't have any cake. And you can take some made ingredients out, or even a couple of them. I remember Brother Ralph up in Hagerstown, he made a comment, he made something, not what he made, but he forgot to put eggs in it. I forget what he made. He goes, the eggs would help keep it together. He goes, and it turned out as a flop. So you can miss one or two ingredients and it not turn out properly unless you do all the ingredients properly. But many people, out of all the people, so the majority of the world, as I mentioned, there can be 10 people eating this cake, and there may only be one person that will sit there and say, well, I can taste this in it and that in it, and they can probably make the exact same cake because they have an understanding of what's in there. The world's the same way. There's so many people in the world, they're just enjoying the cake and they could care less about the soul, the ingredients in their body. They don't care. And saints, we need to be careful as even children of God. We have a soul that's never going to die. This body's going back to the earth. And I know we're to take care of the body the best as we can, but this soul will never die. How much time are we spending on the soul of the body? Amen. The soul that's in the body. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 12 says, 13 and 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. You see, I don't not only believe that I have a soul, through faith I know I have a soul. There's nothing anybody in the world that can do to convince me that I don't have a soul. And somebody could say, prove it to me. Prove it to me just like you could prove to me that that cake was made. You can put all those ingredients and make the duplicate cake. I can't make a soul. I can't prove to you only by faith in Jesus Christ that he can give you the understanding that you have a soul. In verse 12 here, he says, for we see through a glass darkly. Not everything that we see we completely understand, but through faith we have understanding that we have a soul, that we have an eternal soul that one day is going to last somewhere in heaven or hell. He says, for we see through a glass darkly, but not face to face. I don't understand everything. And you're not going to understand everything. You're not going to understand everything in the Word of God. God has kept in the secrets, kept the secret things for Himself. And some things are far above our mind and ability to even understand the things that God gives to us. But He says through faith there, but we see through this glass darkly, have an understanding that's kind of not full. But there's coming a day, one day, face to face, I'll know some things. And the thing is, if you don't believe you have a soul today, the day that you find out that you have a soul is when you stand face to face with God, it's too late. I should have been catering to my soul. I should have been taking care of my soul. I know in part. There's some things I know in part right now, and I thank God. I thank God what God does reveal to us.
Amen.
As saints of God, I thank God from time to time. People used to call them little nuggets. Every once in a while, God gives you a little nugget. What a blessing. Sometimes you can read the Bible. You can read certain verses. You know it inside out, upside down. This verse here, you can read it 100 times. Maybe 6 months down the road, God may give you that verse with another thing that you're going through, whatever in life, and God may reveal something to you, the deeper things of God, that can bless your heart. I know in part now, but then shall I know even as I am known. When we stand before God and we hear, well done by the grace of God, thy good and faithful servant, I believe we'll have some more greater knowledge, understanding of the mysteries of God, of the things of God. And I believe they'll be much greater to us as saints. But we have to take care of our soul. Many people are living like they don't have a soul. Jesus told the rich fool one time. You know the story of the parable of the rich fool. The rich fool said, he looked out upon what he had a lot of goods, a lot of food, a lot of property, a lot of vegetables or whatever he had, a lot of plants. And he said, what am I going to do? He goes, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down all my barns and I'm going to build larger barns. And I'm going to store all my goods in them larger barns. And when I'm all done, I'm going to sit back. And it says there, you can go over there. This is Luke chapter 12, 16 and 20. We're not going to go over there. But you can go over there. And in verse 19, the man says, I will say to my soul, soul, sit back and take your ease. I've done all this. I've built the barns. I'm prepared. I'm set. God said, Jesus says, you're a fool. Tonight, your soul will be required of you, and those things will belong to someone else.
Yes, true.
Our soul. Our soul. One day, God will call our soul home, and everything that we have will be left. Not one thing will we take with us.
Amen.
Not one. There are people in the past, they have had their bodies frozen. My heart really does go out to that sometimes. They've had their bodies frozen. To where if they ever figure out what certain cures, they can bring me back. Well, let me tell you what, those people do, they're in hell today. And they know now, they know that they have a soul. And it's too late. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I read that scripture to you to let you know. It says the soul. Doesn't say the body. Doesn't say the body that sins, it's going to die, because these bodies are going to die. These bodies are not going to live very long. Just a short period of time. Brother Walter mentioned about Cameron here, and she's only 16, you said 16 or 17? 17 years old. When I was 17 years old, this age that I'm at now, it seemed like forever. A long way. I wasn't even considering. That's what I said to the person I was talking to the other day. And her and I were the same age. And I said, where has 30 years gone? Just like that. You turn around and you're almost 60 years old. Where'd they go? Gone. The soul. This body's going back to the earth. But the soul that sinned, it'll stand before God. And when God sees there's a sin in the soul, it shall say, depart from me, thou wicked and cursed servant, and cast into a place of hell, which is called the second death. My last verse of scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things which is done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So he says here, we all. Doesn't say some of us, most of us. Just the men, just the women, just the adults. We all will appear before God, the judgment seat of Christ. And everyone shall receive the things done in his body. We've already proved to you that already through this morning, our body's not going to stand before God. This body is not going to stand before God. When God calls the soul from this body will fall to the earth, it'll be buried, it'll go back to the earth. But our soul will stand before God and will give an account for what this body did. So that's why some people say, "Well, my soul's saved, but my body sins." Well, God, well, the verse here says that our soul is going to be accountable for what our body does. So which tells me, I read that years back too, which tells me our soul is accountable. Our soul is accountable and can bring this body under subjection through the help and Christ and help of Jesus Christ. Our body's not going to appear before God, but our soul. How much do you value your soul? How much do you think about your soul? And I imagine as saints, even as saints, and I thought about this myself, how much do I think about my soul? And I know that when we read and we pray and we're in service and we meditate and we spend time, that's catering to our soul and our spirit. We want to have communion with God, our spirit and thing. I know all that. But our soul. We have a soul that's going to last in eternity one day. And it's up to us where we go. May the Lord bless you as we have a song. Like to get a songbook and stand, turn to page 163. My life, my love, I'll give to thee, thou Lamb of God, who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me. My Savior and my God, I now believe thou dost receive, for thou hast died that I may live. And now henceforth I trust in thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. Thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free, I consecrate my life to thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. Might be seated for just a moment, please.